Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis Shir, number 465. We're going to explain the words of the stipler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, pertaining to the Gemara we talked about in the previous Shir, the story of Rav Chisda, where he gave his daughters instruction regarding intimacy. And his instructions was that when your husband takes the pearl, an allusion to her chest or her breasts in his hand, and the stove, which is an allusion to her private part, in his other hand, he told his daughters, present the pearl to him, his breasts, but do not present the stove to him, her private part, until he is suffering. Suffering means reaching a greater level of physical desire for his wife, and then present it to him. So the stipler explains as follows. There's a few lessons to be learned from here, three essential points. The stipler first says, regarding the present the pearl to him, Nokait Marganisa Chada Biyade, is that when the husband is involved with the physical part of the pious, which includes taking her pearl, she also needs to be actively involved. So this is, I'm going to quote what he writes here. It says, the unfortunate invasion of Christian ideology into the Jewish Torah world has caused many fine Jewish people to believe that proper intimate conduct between wife and husband requires her to be completely passive. That is not true. A wife is not to be completely passive. She could be very active with wisdom. Rav Shneur Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, explains that the mistake comes from the misunderstanding what a noisein and a mekabel is, what a giver and a receiver is. People think giver means totally active. Receiver means totally passive, like when a cup receives milk. You pour it in, cup is just a receptacle. But that's not what receiving is. Ms. Rebbetzin Davis, in her Pnimi Shiurim, described a lot and talked about giving and receiving in her lectures in the Pnimi Women's Group. That receiving does not just mean passive. Receiving also gives, is active. And in the sexual realm, very active sexually, proactive towards her husband, but in a receiving way. Proper giving and receiving includes two forms of action. A classic expression of this is between a Rebbe and a Talmud, a teacher and a student. We are part of properly receiving information. When the student receives information, the student then asks questions and maybe makes comments that the Rebbe encourages and inspires further information. This brings the teacher to be even more understanding. It says, "Mitalmida yoyse mikulam." Right? If the Talmud asks questions, brings up points, the Rebbe becomes more wise and gives over more to the students. So the primary giver is the teacher. The student needs to actively, though, connect his teacher in order to receive properly. Doesn't just sit in, is not quiet, but asks questions, brings a aris, and so on and so forth, that causes the Rebbe to give more. So in a couple's intimate relationship, the same applies. So even though the husband is the primary giver, which we'll discuss what that is, a wife also gives of herself in order to ensure that together they achieve the greatest unity. So she could be playful in a healthy way. She could be even aggressive in a healthy way in this physical realm. The idea is ritzayna, to make her feel good in the best way possible. And very often it is when the wife also wants to and needs to participate actively in the sexual interactions with her husband. And it's still considered receiving. So that's lesson number one. The second lesson, the stipler says, pertaining to the Marganisa Achvale, present the pearl to him. Rashi explains, what's this about? It's in order to increase the husband's desire for their intimate union. Not only that, Rashi clearly explains that the wife is expected to help her husband increase his physical desire to such a degree as if he's quote-unquote suffering from the great desire. So the stipler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, makes it very clear. Rav Chisda's second point was that the husband is expected to reach a point of great physical desire that his own wife is encouraging and bringing out. The third point which basically Rav Chisda said, don't allow him to take the stove until he's quote-unquote suffering and then present it to him, is showing you that a wife needs almost like a strategic plan to increase the desire for the husband. Again, one needs to understand here is that the pursuit of physicality in and of itself solely is not healthy, but it's an essential part of a couple's unification. We touched upon it, but Be'ezus Hashem, I want to go more into a certain therapy called DBT, dialectic behavioral therapy. It's not just good for people that have whatever issues that they have, OCD, border personality disorder, and other things that it's set up for, but it's also excellent just as regular human beings. And a lot of the site of DBT is understanding that gray area or the opposite points of things. Where here you have a situation where a wife is figuring out and encouraging and increasing the desire, the physical desire of her husband. So together they should be on that physicality plane of having that union. At the same time, understanding that it's not an end in and of itself. And some people have a hard time wrapping their heads around those two opposites. So Rav Chisda's teaching allows us to appreciate a new aspect of pious. We learned that the essence of pious brings one to a new state. The husband's obligation of verbal pious towards his wife, using words, needs to bring her to a state where she's emotionally excited and interested in their intimacy. And now it's clear that the couple is required also to join together in a state of physical arousal, which will produce a desire for the physical union. So it's the idea of physically getting there as well in the foreplay of it. They're not two independent processes. They use them both. And the couple works on finding the proper chemistry of verbal and physical that will bring them to a state where they're both ready to embrace that union. So now, he has a note here that's very important. I think I'm going to quote it word for word because he talks about the idea of Zera Levatala and the over-worry about it, especially with young couples, when it's a training process. It's a training process. It's normal, especially in the first few years of marriage, where this happens in the regular interaction between a husband and a wife. And over time, you get more experienced and you work through it and it gets easier to do. But it's very important to speak to Rabbanim about it, that are healthy about it, that explain these things, and not to get all shaken up and fall into yish or excess worry and anxiety about it. But at the same time, knowing that it's a responsibility. So I'm going to quote this word for word because he sort of delicately goes through this process. So he writes as follows. The couple's involvement with pious also introduces the potential issue of zera levatala, the wasting of seed, which if induced intentionally is a very serious transgression. Now, although the details of this topic are beyond the realm of this discussion, we will mention just some fundamental points which will allow the reader to grasp an understanding that is relevant to pious. The primary concern of losing seed is if the husband has full ejaculation, described by Chazal as yoira kechetz, shooting like an arrow, outside of the couple's intimate union. When involved with pious, drops of fluid may be discharged. This liquid is a lubricating and cleansing agent and generally does not contain seed, which is relevant to the transgression of wasting seed. Generally speaking, the concern of having a complete omission outside the couple's union should not be an issue for an experienced couple, and it is primarily relevant to newlyweds. As a couple embarks on their new involvement in intimacy, even if they do experience a complete discharge of seed outside their union, they should not become frustrated or discouraged in any way. I'm going to repeat that. Even if they do experience a complete discharge of seed outside their union, they should not become frustrated or discouraged in any way. This could be compared to learning to ride a bike, which involves a possibility of falling at the beginning. Generally speaking, the primary cause of newlyweds grooms premature losing their seed is due to anxiety of failure, and therefore the best advice for such a person is to relax and to understand that it's just a natural part of the learning the process. If in any case a husband finds that he is unable to be involved in proper pious without prematurely losing his seed, and it's a continuous issue, then he should consult a competent Orthodox rabbinic authority. So I'm not going to say much about this because, you know, it's a little tricky because Zera Lavatala is an issue. The different halachic ramifications of certain heterim that you speak to Paiskim about pertaining to this, which is a halachic issues, which we're not going to get it into. But one needs to understand the normalcy of this happening and not to get worried about it. It's almost expected in newlyweds that this is going to happen. They're trying in the best way possible, and they're not used to it. Or there's other things that come up that just makes that the Zera comes out earlier, and they should not be frustrated. They should not be discouraged. It's like learning a bike. It takes time. So that is about physical pious. And now the pious conversation goes into a chapter called Beyond the Bedroom. Beyond the Bedroom is the pious that one needs to do pre-bedroom. And we learned that love through the couple's everyday life is the same love that comes to the greatest expression in the bedroom. It's the same ahava. And we talked about that in lesson two. Therefore, the groundwork of this intimacy should not start when the couple begins to express their intimacy. Although we learned that the roots of that intimacy requires a preparatory courting process, from Chazal it's clear that it should start long before the night starts. The Bach on the Torah emphasizes the importance of fulfilling marital obligations at the proper time. The Gemara says that a pillar of fire would come before Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rechiah, when he would return from the Beis Medrash at the end of the week to engage in intimacy with his wife. So on Friday afternoon, that's what would happen. He would go to Beis Medrash and there would be a pillar of fire accompanying him. One Friday afternoon, an observer saw that the pillar of fire did not appear. The observer concluded that Rabbi Yehuda must have passed away, because it's not possible that he would have been lax in fulfilling his obligation to his wife. So the Aruch Chaim says, the words of the Torah says like this: he should say Shema like any other night, be careful in fulfilling intimacy with his wife. And then he brings this story about the pillar of fire preceding him. The Torah brings this story. And one day what happened was, I guess it was Min HaShemayim, it was time that he would pass away, but he became very involved in his studies. He didn't come home. And Rabbi Yaneh did not see the pillar of fire that preceded his arrival. He turned over his bed as a sign of mourning, because if Rabbi Yehuda was alive, he would not negate the Ayin. And the Bach asks, why did the Torah need to explain the whole story? Why was it necessary? Torah is a halachic sefer. Just write the halacha. Why did he write the whole story? So the Bach says as follows, that it would seem that he was coming to teach that one must be careful that even before the evening of the intimacy, he's obligated to show extra compassion and love to his wife. And it goes without saying he must prevent any arguments before Shabbos. And the carefulness is before the action, even before Shabbos night, when the Ayin was Shabbos night, before Shabbos night, so that there shouldn't be a lacking on the obligation of Leil Shabbos. So therefore the Torah brought this teaching and this story about how he would regularly come home early before Shabbos to show his love and compassion for his wife. As a sign of this, there was a pillar of fire that preceded him to his home, as a sign of an expansion of light and holiness of the Shechinah that would be unified on the night of Shabbos as a result of their union. And Rabbi Yaneh did not see the sign because Rabbi Yehuda continued his learning and was negligent in this obligation, and he passed away as a result. So first of all, you see how serious this aspect is and how important it is to take care of one's wife's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Many people begin their pious in the middle of the night after the children are sleeping. From the Torah, it's clear that it starts way before the evening to show extra love to his wife. And Rabbi Yehuda did not arrive early on Friday. Rabbi understood he was negligent, and that is important, on especially Friday afternoons, to show a special care and a special love. Bracha v'atzlacha.